Okay, Baruch Hashem. It's been a while, and it's certainly good to be able to learn something from the Kedushas Levi. During these days, during the Mehar Ratzon, where, as you know, that as we learned before the summer, that even by mentioning the name Al Haskama Vakama, how much more so by learning the teachings of Rabbi Levi Yitzchak ben Sarasasha, we're able to be mamshich, we're able to draw into our lives Shefa and Bracha and Yeshua and Rachamim. So right now, maybe I'll begin with a story just to remind you of a story that I told when the shul early, I think it was the first Yom Kippur of the shul. I think I told the story about the Baditshva. So there are maybe just one or two of the Vasikim that might remember. But it's a Maisa from Baditshva, just very quickly. And that's the Ma'ir Rachmim. And then we'll learn some Torah for Session of Truth of Yom Kippur. And we'll continue after Yom Tovim to talk. Next week is Yom Kippur. We'll continue after Yom Tovim to work on different stories and different whatever information we have, which is again not so much besides the stories, but biographical information we don't have much, and to spend a good couple of months really going through very, very basic, important, fundamental teachings of the Tzaddik. There's a maisa, everybody knows that at this time of the year, at the time of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that the Kedushas Levi put unbelievable kaiches into trying to bring Slicha, Mechila. We have many, many stories about conversations that he had with Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yom Kippur, Kol Nidre. There's one that I like to remind you of. It was at Kol Nidre, and they saw that the Baditshva was very, very troubled by something. And obviously there was a din. Something wasn't going well. There was a gzeirah. There was a decree that was hovering over the heads of Klal Yisrael. And the Baditshva, the Tzaddik, wanted very, very much to rescind, to remove that decree. And he was struggling with it. So what happened was, they saw that it was ready, the Zman for Kol Nidre, it was ready going way past the Zman, and for a while the Baditshva had been crying and trying all types of things and davening, and they saw that it wasn't going, and then the Baditshva started to say certain things that were very, very strong about how Hashem is, well, you created the Yetzer Hara, and now you have tainus against the Jewish people, and you said in your own Torah that you're not allowed to write in Yom Kippur, only if you're going to save someone's life. So how could you even write us? Chalal, appointed to the Torah, you can't write anything except to save our lives in Yom Kippur. You can't hurt us in Yom Kippur, you're only allowed to write something good in Yom Kippur. To save a Jewish life, not to take a life. And this is going for a while. And then the Baditshva just ran out. And they didn't say Kol Nidre. The Tzaddik just ran out, the Baditshva ran out from shul. And nobody knew what happened to him. And the Maisa, I'm sure if you didn't hear it from me, that you heard it from somewhere else, but the Maisa was that the Baditshva was looking for something that he could bring back as an offering to Hashem. You remember in Chumash, when Yaakov Avinu had to confront Esav after all those years, you remember that there were three ways that he prepared. Well, he was prepared on three levels. Tzilah, to daven, Doron, which means an offering, a gift, and if necessary, a melchamah. So apparently, the Tzaddik had already tried davening, and it wasn't working, and he went to war with Hashem. That was the Muhammad, the arguing and the yelling, whatever he did on his level. And there was nothing that he could do except to try to find some gift that he could bring for Hashem. So the Baditshva didn't know what he would find. So he threw his towels off and he left shul, and he was walking up and down. Who would be home by Kol Nidre? So he saw that there was a woman that was sitting crying. And the Baditshva heard or saw, and he knocked on the door, and she was very shocked to see the Rebbe, and says, Rebbe, what's the matter? It's Kol Nidre. Why aren't you Why aren't you in shul? You have a little child or something? Is the reason, what's the matter? Is something wrong that you're crying? It's Yom Kippur. Why, what's the matter? So she said, a person like me, Rebbe, doesn't belong in shul with the other Jews. This is, what are you saying that for? Why? And she was wearing a tichel, a head covering. And this is, why? Why do you say such a thing? And do you have children? Do you have a husband? What? So she said, no, I'm not married. So the Medici says, then why are you wearing the thing on your head? So she said, because a person like me has to cover her hair. So the Rebbe asked, what do you mean, a person like you? What's wrong with you? So she said that she and her brother were orphans. And the parents left them penniless. The parents were killed in some pogrom or something. And her brother had to really fend for themselves. And it's hard to imagine the kind of poverty that they lived with. And they worked on the land of the Gentile, of the landowner. She said that when she was, this was a Maisa from way back, she said that when she was a young girl, she was an attractive young lady, and that the son of the pirates, the son of the landowner, had his eyes on her, and she did everything that she could to try to avoid him, but he kept on coming after her, and her entire parnasa depended upon this family. And he kept on asking her things that were not right and so on, and she always ran away. Until finally, he said, you know what, this guy said, you don't have to do any sin, I'm not asking you to sin. One thing, she said, I had beautiful, long, blonde hair, and he asked if he could just touch my hair. And I said, you can't do that. And he reached over, and he touched my hair, and I moved back a little bit, but the truth is that I didn't move back the way that I should have. And I ran away, and I left that place, and I was disgusted with myself that how could I have allowed such a thing to happen? And I cut all my hair off, because my hair was the source of my defilement. And the Vedicha started crying. He said, you didn't do anything wrong. Why'd you do that? You didn't do anything wrong, and Hashem certainly would understand, and why did you do that? So she said, no, it was a terrible, terrible thing. And so the Vedicha said, how long ago was this? So she said, whatever, it was like 12 years ago. So he said, so have you gotten married? She said, no, because what kind of a man would want to marry somebody like me that did such a terrible thing? And the Vedicha said, what did you do with your hair? Did you save it? So she said, I did. So the Rebbe says, please bring it here. So she came out of the bag with his hair, and the Bidditch said, look, you're a big tzaddikus. I'm gonna come back after Yom Kippur to talk to you. But I need to take this someplace. Can you lend it to me? So he ran with into the Bais Medrash. Can you imagine 1,000 Jews in the big shul in the Bidditch? The Rebbe runs in, they're all waiting until midday for 45 minutes, whatever it is. The Bidditch runs over to the Bima. He takes up his bag filled with blonde hair, whatever, slams it onto the Bima, he says, no. What do you think about this? And nobody, you know, we know the Maisik is from the girl or whatever, the Shabbos, it's hard to know what happened, where, what. But in the end, of course, that brought a big Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. And this is all that the Bidditch's life was about, was finding ways to be Mlamas Chus and Klal Yisrael, to show how Jews look down upon themselves, and they're always feeling guilty, they're always feeling unaccomplished, they always feel that they're sinners, when in truth Jews are ready to be mice and nefesh. Look, she didn't get married. All those years she wouldn't go to shul, she felt herself to be an outcast, even though she really didn't even do any avera at all. What was it her fault? And nothing even really happened. There was nothing terrible that happened. But the Bidditch used to teach that Mika Amchi Yisrael, look how your children are such a baruch and to serve you, and they want to be good. And this was the way. He didn't work with davening, it didn't work with a milchama, but that was the gift. And the Bidditch spent his whole life bringing Hashem's brought these kind of gifts to show how Jews are good and how Jews are moisa nefesh for Hashem, and they want to do the right thing. So with that in mind, let's learn this Torah. I numbered it page 1. This is very famous, and I'm sure that almost everybody here has heard this, but you might not know it's in the Kedushas later. And you might not have seen it inside. So let's learn it inside. This is page one. Where it says, "B'chatzais is called shofar harei lufnei Melech Hashem." This is from Kedushas Levi. But you have the one there with the nekudas with the dots. So it's page Shin Ayin Aleph in that edition. It's in the Kedushas Levi Rosh Hashanah. That's the old one, the regular one. Okay, I'll show you. Come here. I'll show you where it is. I use the one that causes it's easier to read. Oh, that's nice.
Fresh from Borough. My brother bought it from the Hino.
I'm sorry?
Later get here. Or is possible?
Yeah, if not, we could maybe sit here and the women could sit over there. Yeah, if it's more comfortable. So then the women will come over here. Yeah, sorry. Okay. B'chatzaitz is for kol shofar harei lufnei Melech Hashem. So the tzaddik explains the meaning of the shofar. Novel of Voyer al derech moshel u'melitza. Let's do this quickly. It's very simple. It's a moshel. And as I said, many of you have heard this. This could be compared to a king of flesh and blood. Who went into a great forest. This king went into the forest in order to enjoy himself hunting. He entered into the depths of the forest. And he couldn't find the way out of the forest. He couldn't find his way back to the palace. Now you always have to be careful because the Meditra often says things that appear to be very, very simple, but they're not simple at all. And every single word is also a pikabola. She says, "V'ra'a b'yar anshe kfarm u'she'elu mal haderech." And he met some villagers, some peasants in the forest, and he asked them if they know the way. But they didn't recognize the king. They didn't believe that he was a king, and they didn't help him. These people were unfamiliar with the main roads. They only lived there in the forest. The villagers, they didn't know where the Derech HaMelech was. They didn't know the path leading to the palace. Hanochen v'hayosha, the straight. Ad shemotze ish chochem v'noven, till finally the king met a wise man, u'she'elo al haderech, and he asked this person the way, oza chochem haven. The wise person was able to understand that it was really the king. Although he might not have, it didn't appear like the king, but he really was the king. Which is the correct way. So this fellow who was able to discern that in fact it was the king, so he immediately helped Vayareya was a derech and he showed the king the way. Because he was very wise and he knew the true path leading to the palace. Derech HaMelech. Vayarech es HaMelech leveis HaMelucha. Not only that, but he took the king all the way, he accompanied the king and it showed him, took him all the way to the palace. Vayoshev oysal kise mamlachto. And he brought him to the throne, and he sat him on the throne. And this king, this man found great favor in the eyes of the king. And he gave him a position that was exalted, that was above all the other ministers of the kingdom. And he presented his new friend, the king presented him with very precious garments. There's begodav, however, what would be with the old garments, with the filthy old garments of the peasant of the forest? There's begodav, tzivol ahachnas lebeis gnozov. Interestingly, so the king commanded that the old garments of the fellow should be kept in the royal treasury. Vayihi achrei yomim rabin, and much time had passed. And even though the person was wise, but even a wise person makes mistakes. Chota osa ish lahamelech. And that person who had helped the king now sinned against the king. The yitzav al hamelech, and the king was angry. The yitzav l'sar v'yoshim rishonu malchus lishpait osa ish, and he commanded the ministers to judge that man, kedin ha'oiv al mitzvah hamelech, as somebody who had rebelled against the king, which in those days meant a certain death. Nowadays you get a promotion. Naturally he was extremely terrified. He sinned against the king, it's true. And he knew that he was in big trouble. And he threw himself before the king. He begged for his life. That before the official judgment has been made, as was the custom, that he would be granted one last final request. Would he be allowed to put on his old garments, the suit that he had, the set of clothing that he had when he was a peasant, when they first met. How could you refuse such a simple request? So, and the king agreed. So when the person put on those humble and those old clothing, Zohar HaMelech is Goydla Chesda Sher Osimah. The king remembered, right, on the day of remembering, the king remembered the great kindness that person had shown him. Asher Hichzir Oso Lebeis HaMelucha, because there was nobody else who believed he was a king, who cared for the kingdom, who knew the way to the palace. Only this man. And Vishiveyu al Kise Mamlachto, he restored him to his position of honor. Meaning that person rather had brought the king back to the palace. Vayikom Rachmav, and now the mercy of the king was awakened. Vayimsa Chayn Vachesed Lafanov, and this person was now once again very beautiful and appealing in his eyes. Even though the suit was not anywhere as nice or as expensive as the royal garments that he wore as a minister, it was a filthy old thing. But v'yitzachein v'chesed lefanav, v'hever es chatosam lefanav, and the king canceled the judgment, v'eshiva alkano, and he brought him back to his position. So the tzaddik explains the b'ditshva, hinei kichol ha'moshel hanal, k'molchein anachnu am b'nei Yisrael. It's the same thing with us. Yishas Matan Torah, when Hashem Yisbaruch came to give the Torah to the world, Asher Hichzir HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol umah v'loshen, as Chazal tells in the Gemara, that Hashem went to all the nations offering the Torah. Hashem went to all the nations to offer the Torah. V'lo rotzu, and they didn't want. They didn't care about the king, they weren't interested in the, they didn't believe there's a king, they weren't interested in the palace. However, only the Jewish people agreed to accept the Torah with great joy and delight. We didn't try to interrogate and to figure things out, just like on that day when the king was lost. All the other people were asking him 1,000 questions. And only that one person didn't ask all the questions. He recognized that this is the king. He doesn't look like a king, and this doesn't seem like he doesn't seem to be in much of a royal predicament right now. Nevertheless, so the Jewish people, Kidanu Nasa L'Nishma, V'Kibalnu Aleinu O Malchus Shemayim, and we accepted O Malchus Shemayim, V'Himlachnu Aso L'Melech Aleinu, and we alone accepted Hashem as our King, which is the day of the coronation. Rosh Hashanah is the day of the coronation. V'Kibalnu Mitzvoyse V'Terosu HaKedosha, V'Ata Pashanu Maradnu Negdo. And it's true, during the course of the year, we've sinned against the king. And in Rosh Hashanah, we're afraid of the judgment because we've rebelled against the king and we can't deny it. Because the king is bringing everyone to judgment and all that's hidden and known only to him. And the judgment of each person is supposed to be according to his actions. So what do we do in that situation when we've mamish been caught and we don't know what to do? L'chein, and also that's how we end Yom Kippur, that's the minig. L'chein, with the blowing of the shofar. L'chein, anachnu toikim v'shofar, we blow the shofar. U'malbishin anachnu v'yisan v'osa halavu shohev matan Torah. Because why? Why do we blow the shofar? So the Ditzvah says because that's what the Jewish people wore, so to speak, at Har Sinai. Shekibalnu es haTorah v'himlachnu oso b'shofar, because how do we accept Hashem as our King at Har Sinai? With the blowing of the shofar. K'may shekosu v'hi kol haShofar holech v'chazek ma'od. At Moshe yedaber v'lokim yanenu b'kol. The way that we were mamlich Hashem, the way that we accepted Hashem as Malchus, was with the blowing of the shofar. So Rosh Hashanah, when we seem to be in a corner and we can't find our way out, so the Baruch Shalom himself gave us such an Eitzah. Because in the story, the king was the one who kept those old clothing. He kept them in the base Gnozov, in his treasury. So Hashem Baruch himself has told us in the Torah that it's a Yom Teruah, and he gave us an Eitzah. That when Hashem Yisbarach sees that Klai Yisrael takes out the shofar, so kivyochol, it awakens that schus. And then zachartu l'chesed merayach. Then kivyochol, Hashem is brought back, so to speak, to that time of the beginning, when nobody in the world was interested in him. And only this peasant, Klai Yisrael, didn't ask questions and was prepared to lead the way, to lead the entire world to the palace. And that's why Rosh Hashanah is a day of the, one of the reasons that Reb Sadia Gaon gives, from the 10 reasons that he gives for the blowing of the shofar, is that that is an instrument that's used to coronate the king. In the old days, when it was a day of the coronation, and on the anniversary of the coronation, they would blow the trumpets. That was the official simon of the Malchus. So every year when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we take out from the Beis Gnozov Shel HaMelech, we take out from the treasury this instrument, the shofar, we blow the shofar to travel back to that point in time of the beginning. The Yiftarenu Min Hadin, the Yichtevenu La'alto L'chaim Aruchim V'Toivim Amen Kein Yiras. And this way the Baruch Shalom will write each and every one of us for good and for a long life. And again, it's a very, very simple mashal, and it's one that it's important to share with the family. But in every single part here, there's much, much more. But just al derech hapshat is extremely, extremely important. On page 2, now, let's prepare now for Yom Kippur. Also, that should be in another, if you have a different edition, it would be around 2 pages before, where it says Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. I remember maybe a page or two before where it says Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. So he brings the Gemara. Now, you know that the most powerful tefillahs that we have at this time of the year are Slichas. There's nothing as powerful as Slichas. We begin with Slichas. Throughout this time, we use Slichas. And then finally, when it comes to Ne'ilah, Ne'ilah is built all around Slichas. And Chazal tell us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mesatif Kishlich Siba, Hashem put on a talus, whatever that means, Hashem put on a talus, like a Shlich Siba, that's why the minhag is to wear talus. So if he put on a talus like a chasm, like a Shlich Siba, and Rabbanu Shalom taught us the way of the 30 of the Midas, and Hashem said that if you're doing Lefanag, if you will say these tefillahs in the future, when you're in trouble, so Hashem says that this will bring you a Yeshua. So, that sugi there in the Gemara in Yuches is discussing all of these in Yonim. And the Gemara talks about the mid of Hashem that we say in the Nusach of Slichas. Tone the very Rabbi Yishmael, Ma'aver Rishon Rishon. You've been saying it every day. Ma'aver Rishon Rishon, Ma'aver Chilichot of Slichot of Hashem. Ma'aver Rishon Rishon. What does that mean? Is Ma, that Hashem, what is this mid that's Ma'aver Rishon Rishon? That he moves away the first. So the simple pshat, ma'aver rishon rishon, means that Hashem, if you look in the English, I didn't see the English, but it probably says something to the effect of, that Hashem pushes aside, casts aside, or discounts the first sin, ma'aver rishon rishon, in order that we should be zeich. But what does that mean? That he's ma'aver rishon rishon. There are other explanations, but the simple pshat, that Hashem is ma'aver, la'avir means to push away, to get rid of. He's ma'aver rishon rishon, and ma'aver melchilachot lechilachot paishon. That Hashem is forgiving, and is giving. There's great forgiveness. So what does it mean that Hashem is mesalek, that He pushes away? He's ma'aver rishon, and the Gemara says the kach lahamida, and that this is the mida of Hashem. That what? That He's ma'aver rishon. So what does that mean? There's like a, it's like you get a freebie, you get one off, you get a discount. What does that mean? Bechlal. What does it mean? The first that you ever did. The first one that year? What's Ma'aver Rishon Rishon? So it's a major discussion, of course. Sorry? From Adam Rishon. Very good. So Maisa and Drosha Saran and others from talk about that. There are many, many ways of looking at this. What the Tzaddik says over here is a gewaldige insight. Inyan Zeyavur al Derech Maibim Maseches Shabbos. The Bedichva brings the Gemara in Shabbos. The whole Gemara, this whole Gemara is fascinating. There's a discussion in the Gemara between Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Yehuda. It was a Shas Watson, he said, ask anything you want. So the Gemara there tells us that Rabbi Zeira asked Rabbi Yehuda, the reason my time ahane easy, it's Gemara in Shabbos Ayin Zayin, my time ahani is a masgibiration. He was given a choice to ask anything in the world that was troubling him from the Gadol Hador. So for me or you, we would ask something about, okay, you want to ask something about the Holocaust, about Gula, whatever it is, right? So the Gemara says that he asked him, why is it that when you watch the shepherd with the animals, with the behemoths, why is it that the black goats are always in the front and the white sheep are always in the back? That was the question. Now, the offer was made to ask anything in the world. It says in the Gemara, "B'chol chalalei alma," the Gemara says, anything in the universe that's troubling you, that you have in your mind. So this is what's bothering him. He said, I don't understand why the black goat on front, the white sheep on the back. That was the only thing. That was like, I remember once a cartoon in a magazine when I was a kid that many of us used to read, that the picture of a goofy person on the cover. Right? You know what I'm talking about. So, I'm talking about a mice from 35 years ago. So, they were all Yidden behind that whole operation, you know. So that, so there was this mice over there about a kid. There was this kid that he was 18 years old and he never spoke a word in his life. And they took him to every doctor. They went like to, you know, to Vienna and Paris, place to every hospital, doctor, Lourdes health. And they gave up. They're sitting at the table one day and all of a sudden he says, "Hey, Mark, can you pass the ketchup?" Just like that. So they all fall on the floor, they're crying, and they hugging him, and they say, "You know, whatever, Joe, how come you never said anything?" He said, "I always had the ketchup next to me." It was okay, everything was all right. He's like, you know, something. That was it. There's one thing. This is it. This is the one kashya. The one kashya is, where's the ketchup? So, the Gemara is an amazing Gemara. It's Daf Ayin Zayin also, which is Az, which is the goat. Right? Ezen. So the answer in the Gemara was, Amrullah, he told him, Yehuda told him, Kibriyasus Loilam. The reason that it's in this order, that the black goats are in the front and the white sheep are in the back, is because this is how the world was created, in this order. First it was night, and then it was day. So it was like some sort of a racist comment against animals. First it was night, and then it was day. Now look, the Gemara does not record anything unless it has eternal value. And that these two tzaddikim are having a conversation about the behemoth is altogether funny. And then this answer, Vahir Vahiboker, when he was asking a question about the state of the animals, obviously there's something going on over here. It's not a regular situation. So the Beditzvah explains the Gemara. Vihina Yadul Bekisve Arizal. So the Ari HaKadosh taught Al Posig Vahir Vahiboker, it was evening and it was morning. Vinyan Brias Ailamas. So Arizal taught that this pasuk is revealing one of the deepest secrets of how the entire universe, of how all worlds are created. Shahaya ayidei b'chinas atzimtzum. Then in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create a world where there could be human beings who would be able to have free choice, where there could be a physical world, where life would be meaningful, life would be one of choice. So Hashem had to conceal His light. That, of course, is known as the tzimtzum, as the constriction of Hashem's presence. Doesn't mean, God forbid, physically, Hashem is everywhere, but Hashem concealed His presence. Bechinas tzimtzum. Ki im lo haya bechinas tzimtzum. Because if Hashem would not have concealed, would not have brought about that constriction, there could not possibly be a world that would have measurement, that would be finite, because Hashem's light is infinite. And in order that there should be a finite world, Hashem had to conceal, to hide the infinite, in order to make room for the existence of that which is finite, that has a midah, that has a gvul. Just like the Creator, Hashem is Baruch, is infinite. So then, so too, the world would be, it would be possible that there could be a created, physical, finite world. Therefore, there had to take place on countless infinite levels, there had to take place this withdrawal, this concealment that's called a tzimtzum. In order that there could be the creation of worlds that would have measure and that would have and that would have would be finite and physical. The Arizal taught that is what is meant in the Torah when it says Vahi Erev. In order that there should be a morning, in order that there should be creation, in order that there should be human beings, that there should be a world, there first has to be Erev, there has to be concealment and darkness. Hashem's light has to be withheld. Kamosha calls it Vayhi Erev. Vayhi, of course, always means Saris. The word Vayhi, Vayhi always means Saris. And of course, the source of all Agnes Nefesh, of all anguish, of all suffering, all misery in the world, is Vayi Erev, and it was dark, it was evening. Because that's the Tzimtzum and Histalkus Or, that's why we don't understand the Holocaust. That's why we don't understand what's been taking so long for things to change. V'achakach, and only after the Tzimtzum, Vayi Boker, can there be light? Shu b'chinas amshachas himoshchu sa'or, which means that now there can be the possibility of light, which means a light that will give life to the world, a world that will be finite, that will contain human beings who have the ability to either accept God or to deny God. Shayidei b'chinas kav v'chut, because that's how Hashem created with that flash, that ray of light. Shu shayrish lebriyas ha'ilumis, which is the source of the creation of all worlds. Kemoshi yadua calls that heitev lemayin b'kisvei harizal, whoever learns the kisvei hari. V'inei, b'shtalshus ha'ilumis ribei ribavais madregis, that the worlds descended infinite levels, from a higher to lower, until finally there could be a created physical existence. Madrega acha madrega. Kol mashin is dalsal yaisa lamata, the further something descended on this chain. Yaisa ba bebchinas gvul v'tzimtzum, the more it was contained and the more finite it would become. The more containment there was as it descended to lower levels. The example that I always give, which is certainly very, very simple, is if you have, which we've spoken about hundreds of times in the past, that you might have a huge amount of energy coming from the energy plant, and if you were to try to take your blow dryer or something, or your iron, and plug it straight into the reactor, not only would you not be able to dry your hair, but you'd blow up the whole thing. Everything would get destroyed. So in order that there should be able to be just the right amount of finite light, meaning electricity, so that iron will function as an iron and that hair dryer will function as a dryer, that kli has to be developed in such a way where the light is withheld, where the electricity is withheld, and descends level after level from the energy source, till finally it's entering into this kli, which is very contained and tiny, tiny, minute fragment of the electricity that's available at Con Edison or whatever the plant is. Then now you're able to plug this into the wall, have some use from it. But this could certainly lead a person to be a heretic and to say there is no Con Edison. A person could deny that the Canadism exists. Not because he could say there is no such thing as any great plant. So his parents tell him, he says it's a gewaldig thing. You take the thing, you put it into the wall, and it lights up. So that's the God of the light. And then you put the refrigerator plug in, and it makes the food cold. That's the God of the refrigerator. So then in the house you could have thousands of gods. If you have a lot of gizmos, you have a lot of gods. And that's really what Avodah Zarah is. When the parent says, no, my child, really, this all comes from Con Edison, whatever, on 3rd Avenue or someplace. This is all from 3rd Avenue. Or whatever. So the kid's a kaifer. He says, what are you talking about? There's the God of the refrigerator. There's a God of the iron. There's a God of the blow dryer. And, these are different gods. So he says, no, there's one infinite God, Con Edison. And all of the light, all of this is... But he says, I can't be. The refrigerator cools things, and the iron makes things hot. How could there be? It's Ramesh... How could it be? There's a God of light, there's a God of dark, there's a God of hot and God of cold. There's a God of crest, a God of Colgate. I mean, this is Avodah Zarah. It can't be. So understand that the tzimtzumim, the withdrawal and the concealment can lead to a person becoming so confused with what appears to be in the, what he see in the world as such contradictions, that how could it be that this all comes from Hashem Echad, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, how could it be? Because the only reason that there could be such a thing is because Hashem is mitzamtzem, and just like the light of the electric light, of course, has to go through many levels of tzimtzumim, of being held back in order that it should work as an iron, as it should work as an oven, as it should work as a refrigerator. But it all comes from that source. It's just gone through many tzimtzumim, one madrega after another. So now it could finally be finite. And now it could light up this bulb, or it could turn on the refrigerator. Until now it couldn't. When it's sitting in Con Edison, it's not gonna cool off your food when it's sitting in Con Edison. It's gotta come into a kli. has it got to go through a tzimtzum. You can't cool off anything in Con Edison. And it goes down to such a low point that in this physical world, which is called the Olam HaAsiya, which is called the world of action, it's possible to perceive things as being separate from God. Things appear to be separate from God. Therefore, there can be all kinds of tumah that can exist in this world. Can I share himself like the 70 nations and the 70 leaders of those nations and so on? And the malachim that embody those nations. And so too, this brought about in the creation of man as well. That in the life of the human being, he has this part of him that is prepared to deny that God exists. There's such a darkness inside of man, because God's light is so unbelievably concealed. So there could be the animal soul, Yetzahara, Shu is Nagdus, the Nefesh Elokim, which is at war with the godly soul. So it says in Bereishis that sin crouches and waits at the door, at the opening. We understand that Pesach means that from the time that a baby comes to this world, from the time that we're in this world, that teva, that nature which is animalistic, is waiting and is and pounces upon us, and seeks to, the child is only interested, the child from the very beginning is interested in satisfying himself. And that's it. And he gets used to having taivas gashim, he said, the ram kid son, to external things. Shu neged ratzon Hashem, things that are against Hashem's will. It might begin with something that's okay, but ultimately it leads to that. Ad achas shloishes reishana, Chazal say, the Zohar tells us that the bar mitzvah, or the girl of Bas Mitzvah, then Ozan is Gala Etzla Hayetzah Tov. When does the Yetzah Tov, when does the light of holiness, when is that revealed in the child? By the Bar Mitzvah, by the Bas Mitzvah. That's why it says, Ani Hayoymi L'Deticha. Today I gave birth to you. It's talking about the Bar Mitzvah. That's when the Neshama becomes available. The child, the Neshama is infused into the child by the Bar Mitzvah, by the Bas Mitzvah. But what comes first, the dark goats or the white sheep? The black goats. The darkness, Vahi Erev. And then is Vahi Boker. V'atam l'zeh, why is this? Then he could finally overcome the Yetzar. V'atam l'zeh, why is this? Could be also Shalom, because this is how Hashem made the world. This is the only way that the world could exist, the same way that in the world Hashem hid the light, no there could be existence. So too, if Hashem were to create us with that light of the Yetzer HaTov at that early, from the beginning, the Yetzer wouldn't be able to wouldn't have a chance. The Yetzer couldn't even get started. It would be so clear from the beginning. Bereishis Hashoreich v'Hadin Ha'ayir. First there's darkness, and then there's light. Ki Hashoreich u'Mokel l'Zeh u'Pchinas HaTzimtzum. And the reason that everybody, all of us have to go through that, and that every child goes through that, all of us in life go through that all the time, is because this is the root and source of this order is Vayeher Vayibokeh, that was built into creation, which is the secret, the mystery of the tzimtzum of the concealment of Hashem's light. No more about tzimtzum, just the other side of this page. Hu kaidim lamshach asar kanal, the perish vayhi erev, and that's in the pasuk, first comes the error, first comes the concealment, and the difficulties and the struggles. How could they count that if somebody tells you that he got something without working for it, you shouldn't believe him, right? Someone tells you, lo yagati matzasi, don't believe him. If he tells you that he was able to accomplish something without working, without there being night before the day, so it might look like he has it, but it's not going to really last, it's not going to work.
That's how we kiss the
That's a good idea, right? Because that's Shama Dovra Melech, Halav HaShol. And that's what David HaMelech was talking about when he said, Hein ba'avayin chalalti. David HaMelech said that I was conceived in sin. It's a difficult thing, is parents are big tzaddikim. Hein ba'avayin chalalti, perish. What he's saying is this. He's not talking, God forbid, about that his parents weren't tzaddikim. You say that, right. Ascholas b'yoysi hu ba'avayin. What he's saying is, this is the predicament of every one of us, not just David HaMelech. Hein ba'avayin chalalti means that all of us are created first with darkness inside of us. First with the Yetzer Hara. First with Vayi Erev, with the concealment of light. Perish in Ayet Saharish, Nishabri Ma'odim Tekev Biyam Aleidev, right when you're born. And then what does it say afterwards? Leiv Tahor Berali Elokim. Hashem, create within me, I beg of you, strengthen within me, create within me a pure heart. Kibereisha Hashucha, because in the beginning needs concealment, struggling and difficulties. Histalkus or Elokim. Hashem's light, the infinite light, is held back in order that you should be able to have choice and that you should be in this finite world. And only afterwards can there be light. This is how man is created. And only afterwards, after the Yetzirah, is the Yetzirah. Now we understand the Gemara. The question was that he asked the Tzaddik, "My time, honey, easy, why do the black goats go before the white sheep?" Perish. The meaning of this is, he was asking the question. This was the question that we're still asking him. The question was, "Loma biyitziras ha'adam nivra yetzar mikadam yetzar tayv." Why did man have to be created in such a way? To have to struggle with Ra, with evil, and the Yetzirah to overcome. Until finally, only later on, the Yetzirah becomes strengthened, becomes infused within him, and is strengthened. Because he says, and that's why it's called a goat, a black goat. That's why evil is, or misery is called a goat. He is Nikra Yetzirah. Where do we know that the age is the Yetzirah? K'may Shapirish Rashi, I'll perish. V'shilach ha-se'ir la-zozel. The age Azazel is from the word Aiz also, which means the place of the depths of hell. And it was actually a place, but that's what it means. And Seir Ezim, Aiz, the goat, is the lesson of Azazel, which is the meaning of the Avodah Yom Kippur, right? Which is Esav. And all of Esav is Chesivim, who are thrown off the mountain. But that's the meaning of Ra. The Aiz is a symbol of Ra, of the Seir La'Azazel of Esav. The Imra, the Shetzel, the lamb, that's the Yetzirah, the white lamb. Shu Tzoyin Kaddishim, because the Jewish people are called in Tanakh Tzoyin Kaddishim, Hashem's holy sheep. So Amalei Kibriyosu Shalom, the question was, why do we have to go through all of this? And his answer was, there's no way to get around it, because it's Kibriyosu Shalom. This is the nature of the creation of the world. The race of Chesuchah v'Hadam, the first is darkness and then light. Ayer v'Yibayker, Peirish. Kesherish and Makarvish, Dalsh, Luzai, Subchinus, Atzimsum, Arishan, you can't get around it because this is what we go through, this endless, what seems to be endless, Vayyarvish and Vayyibokers of life, that all comes from the first symptom, from the way of creation. And even now, in order for something new to come into our lives, for something good to happen, in order for it to be a Vayhi Bakir, there has to be a Vayhi Erev. And I was talking about that at the end last year, all the Shiurim, about the Matzav and Etz Yisrael, all the Shiurim are not in you. To strengthen our Amunah, that this is the way of the Tzimtzum, this is the way of creation. Mechinas HaTzimtzum, Arishon Shekoydim, Mechinas HaOhar Kanal. Zeo Kavan HaSan of the Rebbe Yishmol. Now we come back to the beginning. Remember, Ma'aver Rishon Rishon. Hashem is so kind. He's Ma'aver Rishon Rishon. Somehow he puts aside the first one. And he's Ma'aver Mechilu Chatoim L'Slich L'Paishim. And therefore he gives us a lot of forgiveness. And we say that by Slichus. What's a Leimer? The Meditzvah says, Shema'aver Ha'avoinus. That Hashem pushes away our Averus. Especially on Yom Kippur when the Seir La'Azazel is rejected. Hashem is Ma'avir Da'avaynus. Now why is it called, it means all Avayas. And why is it called Rishon, Ma'avir Rishon? Because which side of us is the older side, which is the Rishon? It's the dark part, the sin. That's why all Avayas are called Rishon. Doesn't mean one sin, doesn't mean just this sin or that sin. It means the first part of your life. What's the first part of you? The Vayhi Erev. So Ma'aver Rishon, he says, Ma'aver Avaynus, your Rishon, Mibriyas Ha'adam, which was the first in your creation. Hashem pushes that away, Yom Kippur. Because a person can say to Hashem, in all due respect,
So what do you want from me? For 12 years, I got used to this way of life. Mommy, give me this. Daddy, give me that. I want this. I want that. It's very hard all of a sudden. But now that you gave me Yetzer HaTovah, I'm sort of used to the way of the Yetzer Hara. Why? Because that's the reason. So it can come and say, Rabbi Shalom, really, in all fairness, you should be ma'aber reason. You shouldn't give that much, it's not fair that you should give that much derech eretz to the reasons of that part of us, the aveiros, because Sof Kol Sof was there first, and it caused us a tremendous amount of confusion. And it became like teva. That's what the Gemara says. Because this is how Hashem created the world, because Mida means measurement. Mida means something has a specific finite measurement. Mida means Hashem made the world in such a way that it has, in order that it should be a finite world, Hashem hid his light. Mida. That the source of this was Hashem's will to create a world of midas, of measurement, of free choice. You should understand this. Exactly. That's what the Rabbi Nachman and all the tzaddikim talk about, that before any aliyah, before anything great happens in one's life, by necessity, one has to go through a yerida. And that's that place in between the steps on a ladder where you think you're falling. There has to be, because any time you go through that, whether it's with parnasa, whether it's with children, whatever the Indian is in life, when you go through that, you have to remember, by yerida, by yiboka. And that Hashem is Baruch is preparing you for something greater, unless you give into the darkness. If you give into the darkness and you begin to believe in that, so then clearly you might not come to the bokeh. But as long as you strengthen your emunah during that time of the Vayhi Erev, then Hashem's Baruch says that there'll be a bokeh. We don't with our own human finite eyes, we don't see this and understand. There are sorrows that don't have a bokeh to them. But that's part of the tzimtzum. That's the result of the tzimtzum of the concealment.
When a child is born,
child
is so innocent, so pure, so sweet, it seems to get messed up later.
It's not true. They look like they're very cute. Now, let me explain what I mean by that, because I... That's the Zohar brings. Now, of course, they're adorable, they're cute, and they're innocent. A child's innocence is the result of the fact that Lamaisin, the poil, he doesn't have the kalim to do anything that you and I have to do. If the child could, he would be a mass murderer to get his ice cream. He doesn't have the kalim for that. Children of the Teva, at some point we tried to work on these things, but children of the Teva indulge in a selfish want. They're creatures of desire, of want. It's just that they're not sophisticated, so it's a very mechaz d'Hashem. So it's in a very, very immature state, so there's only so much of a korban that can be made. Yeah. The Gemara says that the hevel peh of his father is without chait. That's no contradiction. It's true. The papayal, the children are not sinning. What Chazal is saying, the Zohar says that the Yetzer Hara precedes the Yetzer HaTov, it doesn't mean that it becomes enclosed or embodied in sin. Sof Kol Sof, any time that any one of us, any adult, does something that's against the Ratzon Hashem, it causes unbelievable pgam, damage in all the Olamos, right? Children do not damage the Olamos because they don't do anything wrong. They don't do anything wrong. But as far as what does the child... What does the child believe in? The Teretz is the child, or who is the child's, what's the center of the child's universe is the child. And you can see when a person has now grown that. But the child is the center of the universe. We spoke about that last Shabbos, not this past Shabbos ago, the Shabbos ago before, when we did Rav Kook with Shiashir, right, coming to a higher level of, coming from the level of the most basic love of one human being to another, to Kaddish Kadashim, Shir Hashim is Kaddish Kadashim, to reaching from there a higher, more refined level of love. But all love begins with a love of the self. Why do our kids, they should be healthy, but why do they love us? Because we're practical. We're handy to have around. The kid doesn't even know who we are. The baby smiles when daddy walks in. What's this Eilig? Because daddy throws the kid up in the air a few times and says, Gewaldig. And when mommy walks in, the kid's happy because this lady gives me teeth and changes the diapers. Gewaldig. And it would be some other lady. It's all right. I don't care. You see, I have something special for you. The kid doesn't have any special psychic. Doesn't feel, of course it's special in the summer, but the kid doesn't have a psychic, doesn't feel any. A child is very practical. You see, as we get older, we become crazy. And their religious devotion is similar as well. They understand. And in the simple way of a child, is that a big balavaita? About this without chay, because they don't do anything wrong, so there's no pagam. But is there really anything profound about the fact that, about the avaita of the child? A child's bechiras is so unbelievably limited and small. The whole bechira of a child is so tiny. And the chlau, it's not an avaita to overcome. The child, it's not like you have this 2-year-old that's, you know, thinking, boy, you know, lately my kash is getting out of control. I really got to work on this kash. It's not good. It's not right. You see, how come there's a certain child that's so sweet and there's another kid that makes a whole commotion? It's not an avaita. It's a teva. This one has a teva like this. This is a screamer. This is a whiner. It's, you know, it's all different types. But it's not an avaita of a child. It's not an avaita. What's to be admired is when you have a Chofetz Chaim. That's chasher. When you have someone that's 90 years old, and he's as innocent as a baby. Baby pictures are cute to have in your wallet, and to bore some people with, but they don't hang them. Like, you know, ultimately they get taken off the wall at some point. Maybe just the parents, but the Chofetz Chaim stays on the wall. Even though he was old and he had wrinkles, because he was like a little baby. That's the avoid. So the child is very innocent, and the child is, and therefore his tefillahs are unbelievable. Why? Not because he's a bala avoida, but because he's totally sinless, which is an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. The mitzvahs is amazing, but you can't compare it to the tefillahs of the Chofetz Chaim, of the tzaddik, guys that are broken the kind of a bala avoida. No, with Hashem, we should be able to get past the Erev and come to the Boker, and it should already be the end of all darkness, and the promise that Hashem is going to restore the light of the moon to its previous state of glory. We should see that Mekuyim, we should see the Seir thrown off the mountain, La'azozo, Haseir V'chosna. We said in the Slichas, who's the Seir V'chosna? Esav and his son-in-law, Yishmael. Seir V'chosna should be thrown off the mountain, Uvo, Seir V'rina, and you should see the Gula Shem Ramikas, maybe Amen or Amen.